So coming up, we've got an interview with Tanya Kucher. And she's a lawyer from Israel. She specializes in property and conveyancing. And she's here for the Israel Expo. And welcome to you now. How are you?
Thank you. Tanya Wheel, originally.
Oh, Tanya. Oh, listen to you.
Born and raised here. Not really. Not raised, but
listen
born here.
To you. Gosh, okay. So what are the different property laws between Israel and South Africa?
Okay.
What are the differences that we need to know about?
So understanding the process in Israel is very important because it's completely different to buying anywhere else in the world. It feels risky. And the best tip I'll give your listeners is to use people that you trust and people that can talk your language. Whether it's your lawyers, your agents, your mortgage brokers, you have to surround yourself with people that you can talk to and that can help you understand the process.
Say, how's it?
How's it?
Okay.
Cool. Lekker.
Just established that.
All good. when you're buying off plan or you're buying on, or you're buying secondhand, the process is different, but money doesn't go into an escrow. That's the first big
That's
difference.
That's quite serious.
That's quite serious.
Who does it go to?
It goes directly to the seller.
Oh, wow. That's
and,
not good.
And you cannot have a condition in your contract that if you're unable to get a mortgage or finance the deal, that the contract is cancelled.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't exist. So it's very important to do your due diligence before you sign the contract. And that will include your financial due diligence and making sure you have approval for a loan, that your property is suitable to get a loan, that there's no building violations and many other problems.
How do you go about getting those sorts of documents?
Well,
if you don't know anybody.
Well, you cannot buy a property in Israel if you don't know someone. Let's start with that.
Do they still have that old issue of guarantors? Is that still a big deal in Israeli real estate transactions?
I would say more when you're talking about rentals. But my speciality as a lawyer, I deal mostly with New Olim and with foreign investors. So when you're in Olé and you're renting, obviously you don't have guarantors. You know, maybe you've got family or friends in Israel, but they're not going to guarantee your lease. You know, 2 minutes
especially
after you
arrive. Especially if they themselves are Olim.
Right, exactly. So there's ways around it. There's other guarantees and there's things that we work with to...
Tell me the advice that you're giving to Olim at the moment. I mean, the Israeli property market is hot, 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 hot. Some have even said it's maybe bubble-like. Is your advice buy, rent? What are you guys saying?
I say that you have to surround yourself with the right people. So it starts from the beginning of the process when you work with brokers. For example... with me at the Israel show is Israel Property Networks, wonderful bunch of real estate agents that are all over Israel in different cities. They all speak English. They're all service orientated. You start with there. Choose an agent that you can talk to and that you can work with. Choose a lawyer that you can talk to and you can work with. I refer all my clients to a mortgage broker, to an engineer that speaks English, to a surveyor that can speak English. All these diligence and part of the buying process, I can help and guide you. You have to have the right people around you. Is it a bubble? I don't think so.
Property is property.
Location, location, location. Buy in good places, it's not a bubble.
Tanya, what is the average property price in Israel?
Oh, that's a question that I
can't
even
answer. Okay, for an apartment.
Where?
What's the median?
You know, there's an average price in Tel Aviv and there's an average price in Tiberias.
Okay.
Can't really compare.
Tiberias and Tel Aviv, compare, no?
No,
not they're both like very expensive.
They're both, no.
No, I reckon entry level.
Oh wait, Tiberias, yeah, okay.
Entry level loch in Tel Aviv is probably about 6 million rand, and that's for probably a one bedroom that needs a shiputz, a renovation. Probably.
Yeah, I'm getting nods.
No,
because I went, I had a look, and I kind of realized, you know, I'm in the market of maybe time-sharing a garage in Israel, because a flat in Tel Aviv is like, it's way gone. The French.
Machzan.
Very good, Kathy. Wow, you hear that.
All right, so I've got a really interesting concept that I've brought to Israel, along with Israel Property Networks, and that is buy on the beach, but you can't afford Tel Aviv anymore, and you can't afford Netanya. And north of that is,
Are you sending us to Poleg?
No, I'm not. I'm sending you. You ready for this? I'm sending you to Bat Yam. Bat Yam.
Yes, the new rail.
Yes, the new hottest spot. I'm telling you. That's the place to invest. It used to be, you know, slums.
Israelis are so dismissive of Bat Yam.
They are.
Khor Batim.
But Khor Batim, nice.
I thought you'd like that.
I like that. It's just a matter of time. The light rail is going to connect it to Tel Aviv within like 12 minutes, center of Tel Aviv. There's tons of new building on the beach. It's a beautiful city.
And property prices in that area?
They're still reasonable.
Define reasonable. You're reasonable and my reasonable
okay,
are different.
I'm sorry, I don't know in rands. I'm sorry, I can't even tell you in rands. You know, off plan now, which is the only way you can actually get a deal. 4-room flat, about 100 and something square meters, 2.1 million.
Tanya, we have to wrap up with you, but I'm going to ask my producer if we can keep Tanya. Can we keep Tanya?
For good?
No, we haven't started. I'd love to continue talking property to you.
It's so interesting to hear all of this. Listen, if you've got any questions.
We're on our last few hours of the Aliyah Fair downstairs.
Yes.
So, you know, come on down.
I think you've got to register first. You have to register for security.
Ah, okay.
So, all right. Anyhow.
They might not get you in.
You can ask your questions. 34519, that's a text line. You can also WhatsApp or Telegram 061-895-1019. Tanya, and we are talking about property.
I just want to say,
yes,
before you ask more questions about property,
yes,
I'm really excited that Harry Kane's going to be playing Saturday night. this is a big part of why I'm flying back to Israel.
You can take the South African out of South Africa, huh?
Yes. You know, there's a special Spurs club in Israel. I think my father might be the head of it.
Oh, really?
And yeah, that's good news.
Very nice.
Getting back to property,
yes.
A number of Israeli companies seem to come to South Africa to market particular developments in very particular spots, be it Netanya, Iriamim, whatever it may be. Does that add an extra layer of cost doing it through these particular organizations? Are you better off doing it through your own infrastructures in Israel, or how does that kind of work?
I think if you're making Aliyah, part of the soft landing is being in places where you can surround yourself with Anglos or with expats or with South Africans. So a lot of those people that are coming and marketing, and they're all wonderful, are marketing areas which are full and saturated with South
Africans. Is there a soft landing, though?
Yes.
Isn't it like quite a contentious issue? Because I know people who made Aliyah 20 years ago, and they still, to this day, do not speak a word of Hebrew. They have not integrated into Israeli society.
That's because they're in Ranana.
Fontaine.
Exactly. There's no need.
Yes.
But isn't that what you're saying?
It is what I'm saying, but you also want to succeed with your Aliyah. And if you're thrown right into the midst of it, it's hard. The first year is very, very difficult. And you have to lower your expectations. I tell it to people all the time. The bureaucracy is hard. The language is hard. The place is hard. At least be surrounded by people that you can talk to. If you don't speak Hebrew after 20 years, I blame that on you.
Talk to us about acquisition costs. For example, in South Africa, transfer costs are considerable buying a property. Is it the same in Israel? Do you pay significant taxes?
So taxes aside for a second, the expenses that you have besides taxes, and we'll talk about that, agent fees, the standard in Israel is 2% plus VAT. Lawyer's fees about 1% plus VAT. There are small costs of getting the surveyor, the engineer, it's a few thousand shekels. Besides that, the big cost is obviously the tax. And this is where it gets complicated. It's called purchase tax. And if you're a foreign resident, you can pay 8% and up. However, there is tax planning here because if you're making Aliyah, you can get a large rebate if you buy and make Aliyah within 1 year. So it's so important to surround yourself with people that understand Olim and foreign residents. When you're working with a lawyer, you must make sure they know that they know the market. They know, they understand that if you're an Olim, and, you know, you can make Aliyah and miss that huge rebate. And it can be huge in rands, definitely, if you come a week later than when, you know, when that year is up.
And so it's important. It's important also to understand the background of this, because Israel has a residential property crisis. I mean, there's not enough properties for young Israelis to come up and buy their own homes. The Israeli government doesn't want absentee landlords who are all foreigners in the diaspora with lots of money who are buying properties, and those properties are empty for most of the year. So I think that
is definitely where the whole tax change came from.
Yeah.
So it never used to be like this. However, it hasn't really succeeded. You know, the idea was not to let investors, to make it harder for investors to buy for that reason and to allow Israelis, to be able to afford properties. The hope was that the property market would come down, but it hasn't. It's just continued to go up, and now the taxes are even higher.
Foreigners are driving up the price of Israeli properties.
Not only foreigners. Israelis are doing well. High-tech in Israel is doing amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
Israelis can also afford to upgrade. Not everyone, but they can afford it. And the high taxes just made it harder. Did not bring the prices down at all.
Amazing.
It's a dilemma that I've often thought about. You know, it's all very well sitting out in the diaspora. Oh, I want my little bolt hole, maybe. And at what cost? At the cost of a young Israeli who served in the army, who's done his time, and who can't afford to buy an apartment because without parental help, you're a non-starter in Israel.
Yeah, but you're not buying.
But
in
is
Israel,
that different anywhere in the world, though? Is it different anywhere in the world? Who finishes the army?
Israeli real estate is expensive.
I know. I've got two children who live there, but. Also understand that, you know, there's a process. Your first home, you don't own your first home at the age of 20 or 22 or 25.
Everything in Israel starts a little bit later. You go to the army,
you go to
you
university,
want to travel,
right.
You go exactly. to university. Things start later. And in a way, Israeli kids or teenagers or young adults are at a disadvantage when it comes to that compared to the rest of the world. But it's fine. Everything starts later and that's okay.
Do you find, you know, waves of anti-Semitism? So now Germany, Corbyn, potentially in England, France, not an easy place to be Jewish.
I'm going to ask you about Iran next. Yeah. No problem.
Well, there's an interesting question because there are 50,000 Jews sitting in Iran. Do they buy in terms of depending on the stress levels in those particular home countries?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're feeling it now from all over the world. We're feeling a huge wave of Aliyah coming. And people are buying for backup, and people are buying to make Aliyah, and you feel it. You feel it from England.
Yeah, they were talking about 100,000 French Jews.
And you feel it from here.
Wow.
100,000 French Jews.
And I must tell you,
by the way, Renana Fontaine looks like little Paris these days.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is interesting. What's also fascinating to me is places like Hadera, which in the olden days, 30 years ago, you wouldn't want to touch, now are very, very viable options. There's no bad place in Israel anymore.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Agree to disagree.
If you say so.
Well, Tanya, thank you so much. How do people get hold of you? If somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do it? What's your website?
Okay, so Google me. Find
Tanya.
Me on Facebook, tikuchalor, tikuchalor at Gmail. Ask the Israel Center how
Tanya
to get hold of me.
Kucha.
Tanya Kucha. K-U-C-H-A-R.
Yes. Go and Google her. Notary conveyance. It all comes up.
Yeah, you'll find it.
Promise. Because we had to check you out before. Tanya, thank you so much.
Thank you
so
much.
I hope that it's been an enjoyable trip for you.
It has, absolutely.
And, that it's been a worthwhile trip for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing the good work.